Thank you, thank you, thank you. Three Jews got excited. This Nazi is staring at me. That's a Jewish flag. We had to have it here. We really had to have it because we're having a lot of problems on this show. I don't know if you heard about it. You know, a lot of people can't believe that I'm Jewish. I'll tell you the truth. I wanted to become a Gentile. I did, but it's a major operation. Even this you can't figure out, Mr. Let me tell you something about the state of Israel. You know, Israel is a great source of conflict to a lot of people. A lot of people disagree with their policies. But let's be honest about it. Whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, you ought to thank God for the state of Israel. It's still the only dependable ally that America has in that whole part of the world. The only one. And they are tough. You know how tough they are? People don't know how tough they are. They can do anything except form a government. That's the only thing. Government is not their field. There's only 7 Jews. There's 9 partners. I'm a partner. You're a partner. And everybody's elected over there for an hour and a half. I got the job. I lost the job. What happened to the job? Okay, I'm the prime minister. I'm not. I thought I was. What happened? You know, Shamir was the prime minister then. He wasn't. Now he is. From one day to the other, he's not true. Spent the whole day today in the lobby of a building, walking around. Mister, am I working? Not that I'm picking on him. He's a great man and an articulate man. What a speaker. You ever hear him speak? All right, we'll take a look. That's it. That's what it is. If not, you don't know. Maybe we will. I don't know. Okay. We'll find out. Maybe we won't. I don't know. We will look into it. We did. Maybe we did. I don't know. I'm not picking on him. He's a brilliant man. Not only that, he's a compassionate man. He is. You know, right now the United States wants him to give the West Bank back to the Palestinians. The amazing thing is that he wants to give it back. He'd like to give it back. Right now he can't. It's in his wife's name. Let's be honest about it. We shouldn't pick on him. He has a murderous job. He has a lot of opponents. Did you ever have Shimon Peres as main opponent? He's just the opposite of Shamir. This guy really is a great talker. When he talks, he can't get over himself. He keeps listening. You ever hear Shimon Peres talk? All the tradition of the pergolin, the lacaque, the talker. We, of course, remember the dog, the kailak, and the talker. Others, but the hakaque, they remember. Of course, the time, but we parlocated before the time. Others, however, will say, what the hell is he talking about? Then there's another guy, Ariel Sharon. Sharon is the toughest of them all. He fears nobody. You ask him any question, and I'll tell you right to your face. Mi chaget, mi bodet, mi gadet, mi didet. That's it. The people with the chapoket, they have to remember that was mi didet. Why should we, when we, ha-ha, because we did that, the, he son of a bitches. And everybody says, he's right. You see, Israel needs tough guys like him, because Israel is constantly surrounded by enemies, like Yasser Arafat. You ever have Yasser Arafat from the PLO, remember? The guy with the dish towel? He's not only a terrorist, he's also a thief. The man is a thief. I took a close look at the towel, says Hilton. You know, they're having a lot of problems in Israel. They can't even figure out who's a Jew. Do you know one of the deepest problems in Israel is to try to define a Jew? It's a deep philosophical question. How do you know who's a Jew? In this country, they know who's a Jew. A guy talks like me, he's a Jew. But in Israel, they all talk like me, so nobody knows who's a Jew. You know, right now, you're only considered a Jew in Israel. A lot of people don't notice. If you were converted by an Orthodox rabbi, if you were converted by a conservative rabbi, you're only a half a Jew. Tops. That's a fact. Did you know that? If you were converted by a Reform rabbi, you're a Puerto Rican. And a Jew. And that's it, and there's no exceptions. Unless they find out you're a big contributor, we talk it over. Do you understand this? I don't want to pick on the Israelis. I don't even want to pick on the Arabs. God bless the Arabs, too. I think everybody is as good as anybody else. If a man is an Arab, so what? Does that make him worse than you? There's nobody worse than you, I think. That's right. I say we should have been in Saudi Arabia. We should have defended and protected them. Why not? I just think they should have at least appreciated what we did for them. You think they appreciated what American soldiers did for them? They were putting their very lives on the line. And what do you think they were doing? They were sending out instruction manuals telling American soldiers how they have a right to behave. Did you hear about it? Shouldn't drink beer. Shouldn't have sex. What is it, my sex life, your hazardous business, if I'm here to save you? If I was saving you from drowning, would you have the right to say to me, wait a second, did you have sex lately? I got it. Especially while they're running around with 70 wives apiece. Did you read about it? 70 wives! What do they need them for? To play basketball? I want to. Why do you think they walk around with cheats the whole day? They got no time to put their pants on. That's right, that's right. When you got 70 wives, you got to be ready like this. They got the time. They take care, you put on a pair of pants, you kill the whole day. They cannot fool around. Why do you think every time you see the Arabs, they're kneeling? They're always kneeling. What do you think, they're praying? You think they're praying? They got no strength to get up. You understand this? I don't want to pick on them. I'm going to that area very soon. I don't know if you heard about it. I'm going on another flight. Ordinarily, I would take an American plane because I use an American product first whenever possible. I think if you're an American citizen, you should feel a moral obligation to use an American product first whenever you can to help the American worker and the American economy. Not in this case. I don't have to get killed to prove a point. Well, let's be honest. Do you feel safe if you take an American plane on a foreign flight? Do you feel safe? If you do, you're a total schmuck. Because the truth is, you're not safe on an American plane on a foreign flight. You're not. Because the greatest threat in the world today is terrorism. It has been for the last 10 years. Do they make any effort to protect you from terrorism on American planes? Do they? Mister? Who's standing there by the conveyor belt to make sure that a bomb doesn't go on the plane? Who do they have there? Anti-terrorist geniuses watching every place? You ever see who's standing there? 17-year-old kids from Honduras, and they're dancing. Bombs are going by the thousands, bombs are going. What do you got there? A bomb? On the conveyor, on the conveyor. All the bombs, on the conveyor. The only time they stop you is if you have a key. You ever notice that? A key! The guy got a key! There's another key! Two keys! I found two keys! They love to find keys. They love that. You know why? The next day, they rob your house. They never found a bomb. They never will find a bomb because a bomb is made out of plastic and they only have metal detectors. Did you know that? A bomb is made out of plastic. The only way they'll ever find a bomb is if it's attached to a key. See, this can never happen on an LL flight. On an LL flight, they have the best anti-terrorist geniuses in the world studying every individual. Did you know that? There never was a terrorist incident in the whole history of LL, and there never will be. There never will be because they know how to study every individual. They actually make you take your clothes off before you get on the plane. Did you know that? A lot of people think I'm making this up. It's an actual fact. They make you take your clothes off because they know that a bomb could potentially be in any part of a person's body. I don't want to sound too graphic, but a bomb could be any place. That's why they study your whole body. Did you know that? They feel your whole body up and down, up and down. For an hour and a half. That's right, that's right. I go there every day. Till now, I was never in Israel, but I was at the airport day and night. I don't even put my clothes on in the morning. I put on a raincoat. I put on a raincoat. I go right to the airport. I go, who? I used to take girls out on dates. Then I found out on a date there's nothing definite at the airport. I don't even want to make any jokes about this. You shouldn't kid about planes at airports because you should avoid planes whenever possible. It's still the most dangerous thing you could do is to fly any place. Even though they give you these commercials that flying is safer than driving, these phony bastards. They're not ashamed to tell the American people for 50 years that flying is safe. Is flying safer than driving? You've got to be a total schmuck to believe that. When is the last time you met anybody who came back to you from a plane crash? When? How often you meet a guy, hello, I just came from a plane crash. How often? Well, every day you meet people from car crashes. Every day, hoits me here, claps me there, hoits me there. I never heard a guy say, you know, something yesterday, I was flying over the Atlantic Ocean. All of a sudden, boom, have I got a pain here. The day before I crashed into a monk, why have I got a pain? It's no accident that when a plane lands, everybody applauds. They can't get over it. They thank God they made it. Even the pilot can't believe it. He takes a bow, another bow. Everybody says, thank God we made it. We made it. Thank God we made it. You ever see anybody applaud when a car parks? I never see it. Did you ever hear somebody say, 34th Street, thank God?